welcome all of you, especially those of you that are here, perhaps for the very first time. Especially want to welcome you. Thank you for coming tonight. This is not the normal thing that we do on Tuesday nights. Is it Tuesday? Yes, Tuesday, right? 48 hours we've been into this. But we're glad to have you. This is something we do every year. We fast and pray together from Sunday to Sunday. And we found that over the years that when you start the year by fasting and praying and seeking God, it gives you a whole lot more opportunity for God to do something great in your life and with your life. And so we're excited that you're here. There's a card in the seat back pocket in front of you that says hi on it. That hi is meant to be a greeting to you. Hi, hello, we're glad you're here. And if you're here for the first time, if you would take that card out and just give us some contact information, or maybe you have a prayer request to go with your contact information, we would like to have a record of you being here. That'd be your gift to us. So in a few minutes when the offering plates come by, you can just put that in the offering. That'd be your gift to us. If you want to, you can turn it in the welcome center in the back, and we have a gift back there for you. But we're glad that you're here. Really, really glad that you're here. Tonight, before we do the 5x7, you'll find out what that is in a few minutes. Come on, that's how I feel. That's how I feel about it. Tonight, before we do that, we have something special to do. Matt and Sockle Niece have been with us in this church for 14 years. And for 10 of those years, they were here on staff, the last 10. They embody really what it means to be a son and a daughter in this house. And we love them. We're so happy and proud of them. And over the last couple of years, actually it's been about 3 years, we've been praying and talking and visiting about the moment that would come when these guys felt like it was time to slip out of the nest and to plant a church. And so tonight, we're going to hear a little bit about their story, and we're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to pray for them. We're going to officially send them out of our church tonight. And so it's really a special time. It's really a special moment. And so Matt, Sacco, we'll invite you guys up here. We're glad you're here. Where are your kids? They're hiding somewhere. Okay, I see them over there. Great. Come on, give them a hand. Sako was born and raised in Tokyo, Japan, and her parents are—I guess your parents were Christians before you ever came. No.
I baptized them in the bathtub.
You baptized them in the bathtub. Wow, fantastic! That's awesome. And so Sako came here to learn Spanish. Came to the United States to learn Spanish. Japanese and English wasn't quite enough. And so she came here to learn Spanish so she could go down and run one of her dad's companies in Latin America. Unfortunately for her dad, she met Matt. And the two of them had a wonderful love affair and relationship. It was wild and crazy. Let's don't go there tonight, okay? It's a solemn moment. This is a powerful moment. But these guys are so special and so wonderful, and everything they touch is better after they touch it. And so I wanted Matt to give you just a brief synopsis of what they're doing together, and then we're going to pray for you and your children and your team, if that's okay. Is that all right? Fantastic, yeah.
Do you want to hold it so you can kick it away?
No.
Just give me the rub down.
Your wife will.
Yeah, she will. Wow. You know what, you guys... like Pastor Joe said, we've been here a while. This is our family. You guys are our brothers and sisters. We are children that have grown up in this church. We've learned how to be married in a better way. We've learned how to love our children. I've learned how to be a pastor. Pastor Joe and Nancy have let us try so many different things, and they've given us a lot of freedom to grow and really grow in our identities also. And so we really see this. First of all, woo! I wake up every morning and go, wait, are you sure, God? Are you sure? He's pretty sure. But also, we are kids in this household being sent out just like you should in a healthy family to go start another household. And so we plan to stay connected. Pastor Joe and Nancy are still our mom and dad over here. And you guys are still our brothers and sisters. And because of that, I am really counting on all of you to take this as seriously as we are. And in that, I expect you to be praying for us. I expect you, when you wake up in the middle of the night, to go, oh, wait, what's going on? I need to pray for Matt and Sako. I need to pray for Wellspring Church. Do we have that? A few years ago, as Pastor Joe mentioned, we've been talking about this for a while. A few years ago, Pastor Joe told us to move from Cedar Hill, far south Dallas, to North Dallas Richardson. Sako's a teacher in Richardson ISD. And so he miraculously made it possible for us to move up there, gave us a great house, and then he gave us the word Wellspring. And he gave us that word, and it means a couple different things for us. Wellspring, first of all, it's just like we sang about in that first song. We want the Holy Spirit, the rivers of living water to flow through us. And we want it to impact every person we come into contact with. And we want a group of believers who can come together and create a pool so we can have a pool party every weekend. But also, it's very important to us what we experienced here at Trinity Church. Pastor Joe and Nancy were brought to this location where we're meeting by God and given this location. This location was a dead church. There were a couple people left, and they were going to sell it, have it torn down, and turned into apartment buildings. But God said no. Why? Because there are wells that have been dug by people's prayers, by people's ministry, and those things don't die. Just like when Abraham died, the Philistines, the enemy came in and filled in the wells, and Isaac had to go find them and open them up. We are being called to North Dallas, Richardson area to find wells and reopen them. And you guys, as part of this spiritual family, have that same calling on your life, because that's a part of the DNA that is Trinity Church. What's happened here, the life you're experiencing, there are places in this metroplex and around the world, in Berlin, Browns, all over the world, that have been sealed by the enemy. And he is going to target you to open those wells. And they're people, but they're also locations. So wellspring.live is our church. It's also our website. We pronounce that, you know, it's wellspring.live, but we pronounce it live because it's a command. We want to live, and we want the people we come in contact with to come alive. Wellspring.live, and the tagline is, come home, discover your identity, live your destiny. And we live by three I's: intimacy, identity, and influence. And we are committed to growing in those three areas in our lives and growing others in those three areas. So thank you, guys. Thank you so much, Pastor Joe. Really appreciate you letting us do this and sending us out. And we've been so blessed by the support that Trinity Church has shown us. And whoo, here we go.
Come on, give them a hand. Yeah, I want to be really clear about all this. I'm not letting you do this. I believe God called you to do it. And so I'm just agreeing with God. And so are we as leaders here. So what I'd like for you to do is, if somebody can move this, maybe, yeah, move this, and get your children to come up. And great. And then any of your teammates, any of you guys that are on your team now, want them to all come up? All the back row crew back there. Come, you. Yeah, that's right. Great. And then Pastor Nancy, you want to come up and join me? Great. Fantastic. Fantastic. Barry, you want to come up? Robert, Matthew, Pastors, Stuart, Ben. Fantastic. Did I leave anybody out? Why don't you, your wives can come up too, sure. This is really, I'm going to get here. Stand right here. You're right. Yeah, great. And you can get right on top there. Very good. Can you see everybody? Sort of. Come on up a little bit. Y'all stand on the back, very far back row. You know, this reminds me about 22 years ago, Nancy and I did this. And our kids are younger than your children now, but now they all have children. So it's really a family affair. It's not just the two of you. It's your kids. It's your team. And I just want to bless you guys. Yeah, we want to bless you. And so if you just extend your hands to them, and we're going to pray over them now and just bless them. Father, we just thank you for Matt. We thank you for Sako. Lord, thank you for Luna. Father, just thank you for her life. Where's Toa? Toa's in Junior Vibe. We just bless him too, Lord, over there. Father, we just bless this team. Thank you, Lord, that every one of them have been faithful to you and faithful to their church and faithful to their each other. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that as we send them out tonight, Lord, we don't send them out to forget about them, but we send them out as an extension of our family to be used powerfully in the land that you've given them to, for the Lord. And so we just bless them now, Lord. We thank you, Father, you have all the resources that they need. We thank you, Lord, that you have the people there waiting on them. Lord, we thank you as they start, they'll sense your presence and your anointing. And Lord, that they'll come to know that you are everything they need in Jesus' name. So Lord, I just bless them now. We bless them together, this whole congregation of us. Lord, we send them out with our blessing. We send them out, Lord, with honor. We send them out tonight, Lord, with your anointing. And Lord, we ask you to use them in a powerful way in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we do come in agreement. Speak life and blessing over this team for Matt Sacco. Father, I pray that you would cause them to move as one unit. Father, they would move as a team. Father, as they come together, that they would hear the word of the Lord for direction clearly, God. There won't be long days and weeks trying to figure out what the next move is. Father, but I pray that they would have a fluid movement, God, that they would have clarity when they move. God, I pray that you protect them, body, soul, and spirit. God, that as we send them out as us. We pray that as they plant, they will grow rapidly, but they will grow well. Father, they will not have people come and join that are going to drain them or cause them to slow down in their progress. God, but we speak prosperity, victory, success, and advancement into the kingdom of God. We bind every demonic spirit arrayed against them now. Father, we command them to flee. As they go and plant this church, I pray that their roots go down strong, they grow down quickly, and they prosper in everything they put their hand to do. In the name of Jesus.
Father, we pray for Matt and Sacco. We pray that you would let them find their people, the people that they're to do life with, the people that they're to grow with, people who will support and encourage them. We ask you to help them to find their place, the spot that they're supposed to be, Lord, their sweet spot. We just ask that your presence would go before them, Lord, that you would prepare the way and provide everything that they need, Lord, in Jesus' name.
We declare, we believe your promise out of 2 Peter 1, verse 3, that you have given this couple everything they need for life and for godliness. And we rebuke the liar and say they can't do this. No, that's not true. Truth is, God is with you. God is for you. God has prepared you. God has anointed you. He is going before you. He's going to cover behind you. You have everything you need. You have the favor of God. You have the wisdom of God. You have the provision of God. You have his hand on you. He's with you. And you will succeed, says the Lord. We love you guys. We're proud of you. We honor you tonight. And just know that our prayers and our thoughts are with you. Our support is with you. And we love you very, very, very much.
Okay, well, Joe asked me to finish it up, but you know what's coming to my heart is, you know me, I want you to pray for all of us in Japanese. Just seal it with a kiss that way. Love you guys so much. And today at prayer, I think it's out of Matthew 13, that God give you the eyes to see and they'd be blessed and the ears to hear. It is amazing the cultures that are up there where you are going. It's holy ground. We just totally, what's Japanese like that? Like, we bless you. We bless you, all of us. Will you do that? All right.
Oh, my gosh. Well, before I do it, can I just say in a Japanese way to say thank you? Thank you so much for your prayer and encouragement all this year, and I'm so glad I'm still here as part of family. Okay. 当にありがとうございます。こうしてあなたが私たちのためにこの集いをくださったことを感謝いたします。そしてここに集う皆があなたによって自由が与えられますように、愛が与えられますように、そしてあなたのもとで守られますように、すべての皆をあなた様の名前、イエス様の名前によってお祈りいたします。アーメン。
Come on, give them a big hand. Come on, we love them. If you're new to this church, that may not have been as significant to you as was to some of us, but this is a big moment, and we just bless you guys, and we're really proud of you, really excited for you. Ushers, if you'd come forward, here's what I'm believing for us, that every one of us will take part in this church plan. You know, we've already committed as a church over $40,000 to help them, and so we want everyone to have the opportunity to be a part of that, okay? And so I'd like to just pray now, and as I pray, I would like to just ask you to ask the Holy Spirit how much you could contribute to be a part of this, okay? Just ask the Lord, and whatever He says will be awesome, okay? Will you bow your heads? Now, Holy Spirit, I thank You that Your presence is already here. I thank You, Lord, that we're committed to do Your will on planet Earth. And I thank You, Lord, that in the midst of all of this, Lord, that we've got a couple and a family here, Lord, that are willing to risk everything and to go for this thing. So, Lord, we want to send them with provision and resource. So, Lord, if You'll just speak to our hearts individually, each family, each head of each family, speak to our hearts, Lord, and whatever You say for us to do, we'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to just take just a moment. In the seat back pocket in front of you is a little envelope. And perhaps you don't have your checkbook or don't have a means to give tonight. That's okay. It's no big deal. Just fill out an envelope. Just tell us who you are and what you plan to give. And I'll give everybody a report tomorrow night of kind of where we're at, okay? For the rest of you, I just want to encourage everybody here to give something. All you kids over there, something, okay? Put a seed in. Put a seed in. Put a seed in. Be a part of something great, okay? I'm just telling you, when you begin to sow like that, you'll begin to reap, all right? So I'm going to give you plenty of time, give you plenty of moments here, just time to be able to do it. And we're going to do this thing right. We want everybody here. And tomorrow night I'll be saying the same thing, and Friday night I'll be saying the same thing, so you'll have more chances if you want to. But I want to encourage you tonight to do whatever it is the Lord told you to do, okay? Is that all right? That's okay. That's okay. Okay, ushers, I want to pray for you guys. Lord, as the ushers distribute the offering plate tonight, Lord, I pray, Father, that You, as this plate passes in front of us, would just reconfirm what it is You want us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow, it's good to see everybody tonight. It's fantastic. Fantastic. See everybody here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the things that I struggle with, and I struggle more with it as I'm getting older, is remembering everybody's name. Like, you know, a few minutes ago I said, is today Tuesday? Like, just, you know, hey, I knew today was Tuesday after I asked it, but I had to ask it to remember that it was Tuesday. And so I can't remember your name, blonde architect, right there. Yeah, you. Yeah, tell me your name. Huh? Liz. I knew it was Liz. Liz, stand up, will you? Yeah, stand up, Liz. And Liz, I want to just say this from the Lord for you tonight, that God has His hand on your life in a really powerful way. You didn't get to Dallas by accident. God made the way for you before you ever got here. And God's prepared a place for you here. And you weren't born here, but you got here as fast as he wanted you to be here. And he's got something special in store for you. And you're going to begin to see that connecting with other people is going to become much, much easier. There was a season there where you thought you're a little lonely, you're working all the time, you're doing, and you're still very busy and doing all those things. But you're going to find people beginning to connect with you. And as you reach out to them, you're going to see a greater multiplication of them returning back to you, people coming back to you. And the reason they're going to come to you is because you have anointing on your life to speak the words of life to them. To like give you're like good at giving directions. You're like good at giving advice. You're like good at listening to people. You have a lot of gifting where it comes to those interpersonal kinds of relationship, and people are going to be attracted more and more and more to you. And the Lord says that influence is to influence them for the kingdom. And so you're going to find it easier and easier and easier to share the things of the Lord, find it easier and easier and easier to talk about Jesus. Even though now there's no real impediment, you're just going to begin to see this going to multiply and begin to grow. And the Lord's really destined you to a blessing. You're going to excel in your work. You're going to excel, and you're going to begin to find yourself in the presence of people of influence in this city just as a course of your work. And as you do, they're going to notice something is different about you, and God's going to use you in a powerful way in their lives and in their family and the people that work for them and the people that work with them in a real special way. So the Lord just wanted you to know that you're not here by accident, that you got here because he brought you here, and that he's prepared a place for you here, and the favor of the Lord rest upon you. Amen? Is that okay? All right, give her a hand. She's awesome. Tonight, we have 5x7. Ben, are you ready? All right, come up and tell us all about it.
Anybody heard from the Lord this week? Anybody heard from the Lord this week? Good, good. Well, get ready because it's about to go off in here tonight. You know, we got a bunch of good speakers. We got pastors who can speak. We got great speakers coming in the rest of the week. But we have a ton of talent out there. So tonight we got a special treat for you. We've got 5 members of our congregation. They are prayed up. They're inspired. They're ready to go. And they each have 7 minutes. 7 minutes. So you know they're going to be getting after it. No messing around. It's business time. 5 speakers, 7 minutes. Are you guys ready for that?
Yeah.
Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Okay, before we start, I need 2 things. Is that okay? Can you do 2 things for me tonight? If you're leaning back in your seat, sit up. Backs off the chairs. Come up, scoot up a little bit, get your notebook out, because God is going to have a word for you. Every one of you should be listening for what God's got for you tonight. I guarantee you'll hear something. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Oh.
2nd thing, I need you to participate. As our speakers encourage you, you encourage them. It's a give and it's a take. Is that okay? Okay, so we're going to practice real quick. We're going to practice. Imagine I'm one of our speakers. I've just dropped a truth bomb from the Word of God on you. Now, there you go. Okay, okay. Good idea, good idea. Let's get all that weakness out of the way first. Okay, let's try it again for real this time. I drop a truth bomb, and you go,
yeah!
Our first speaker, she's got 10 kids, so you know she's strong. She's married to Pastor Matthew Rowland, so you know she's patient. What you don't know, this lady can preach. Give it up for our very own Jane Rowland.
Yeah. Y'all are awesome. Man, I love my family. I love y'all. Well, I'm here tonight to tell you the search is over. And you might be wondering, what does that mean? What does that even mean? I'm about to tell you. I looked up the word search. It means to seek carefully and thoroughly. In our family, we have a pretty big family, just like Pastor Ben was telling you. In our home, we spend a lot of time looking for things that are lost. This is true. I know, looking across this audience, a lot of y'all have lost things. I think probably every one of us has lost something. Multiply that by 12, and that's what happens in our family. We lose toothbrushes. I buy a 12-pack of toothbrushes from Walmart every 2 weeks because they are gone. They disappear. We lose deodorant. We lose headphones. We lose iPods. We lost a hamster for 2 weeks. I am not kidding. Did we ever find that thing, hon? We did. Okay, good. Last week, we spent 30 minutes trying to find Chloe's shoe as a family, our baby. This tiny little shoe, we gathered together and tried to find that shoe. 8 years ago, my husband lost his wedding ring during the fast because he lost so much weight, that thing just slipped right off of him. When we lose important things in our house, we gather the whole family together and we tell them, I'm going to pay you a dollar to find this thing. And as the minutes go by, that reward creeps higher and higher and higher until we are giving $22 for a $2 library book that we can't find. You might be wondering, where is this going? What is she talking about? I'm here to tell you that you might be in a situation where you feel like you've lost God's presence. You feel like you've lost his joy. You feel like you've lost his hope. You might feel like you've just totally lost track of him. The word for you tonight is that he's right here. The search is over. The Bible says he is present in the company of the righteous. He's always been here. He's never left you or forsaken you. He's in the middle of your situation. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I go in the depths, you are there. You know what? As believers, it's not always that we're walking in the heavens all the time. We go deep in the depths sometimes, but I'm telling you right now that Jesus is there. He is with you. And why do we lose things? We ask our family, why do we lose things? Why does that happen? We lose them because we're forgetful. We get distracted. We lose our focus. And oftentimes, we don't have things where they belong. And I just want you to know that Jesus wants you to know that he wants you to get your focus back. He wants you to put him first. He wants you to put him where he belongs. If we did that, then our lives would be filled with the joy and the peace and the faithfulness and the hope that he has for us. When something important is lost in our home, we gather the tribe and we search for it together. Just as Pastor Joe was talking about on Sunday, this is your tribe. Look around, y'all. We come from all different backgrounds and things, but God has called us here for this purpose, for this time. That's what we're doing together this week. We're seeking him. We're searching him for him as a family. We're on the hunt. We're looking for what's misplaced in our lives. Where have those things that we need to draw close to Jesus in? How have those things been misplaced? And together, we're searching. That's why this week of fasting and prayer is so important. The tribe is here, the search is on, and Jesus is here, right here, waiting to be found. And he's looking for a people who value him. You know what? We don't look for the baby's shoe the way we look for the wallet. Jesus wants us to look for him with a hunger and a thirst. It says in Psalm 84, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And he wants us to cry out for him the way we would cry out for something of value. This is the time where we put things back in order, where we put things where they belong. You might ask, what are those things? Seeking him, reading his word, praying, fellowshipping with believers, meeting together. All those things are what we need to get put back in order so that we continue to see and know and feel the presence of God in a real way. Just like we found Chloe's shoe, 30 minutes later it was hidden under the pillow on my bed. Just like the remote that belongs on the mantle, God belongs first in our lives, talking to him, reading, obeying his word. He belongs first. The search is over. There is, all of y'all know when you find something that's been lost, there is a relief and a joy and a thankfulness that fills your heart. There is a relief that comes when everything is back in its place. And when his peace and joy and presence seems lost, I want to encourage you to call one of your, grab one of your family members, grab somebody in your tribe, and start the search again, knowing that he's there, he's right there waiting to be found. So Jesus, I thank you that you are here with us, that you have not left us, you have not forsaken us, that you are here. We might sometimes get lost on the path, but we trust you and know that you are in control, that we put our hope in you. We will be found in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So good. That's so good. What is lost is going to be found. Amen. Amen. Our next speaker, I found out something about her recently that I did not know. She is a superstar on the tennis court. In fact, it's rumored that she recently defeated both Venus and Serena Williams one-on-one. That's the word on the street. No, that's not true. That isn't true. What is true is she's got some truth from the Word of God for you tonight, and she's about to serve it up at 100 miles an hour. Give it up for Carolyn Strickfaden.
Thank you. I know where that little tennis tip came from, and we must have had the same dream, because that would be really awesome. So the title for mine is When Chaos Calls, and really searching for more of God when chaos calls seems really impossible sometimes. There's a picture that of our family that, yeah, okay. So here's the four of us. That touches my heart, but there's really something funny. So this picture, our daughter Landon, she's 2.5. She's a real forward thinker. She's 2.5 going on 15. My husband Brian and I, we're quite positive that she already has her bags packed for college. She's precious. And then Jackson, our newest addition, he's 5 months old. He left his autograph right here on my shoulder. If you can see it, it's formula and mixture of all things good coming out of his mouth. Badge of honor, as Faye told me. But needless to say, my role as a mother is 24/7. I can be completely on point during the day, like crushing our schedule, just managing it to a T, everything seems to be good, trying to get everything focused and on point for the dinner, bath, bedtime routine. Parents out there know exactly what I'm talking about, because you just want to hurry up and just, we have loved you during the day, but it's time to go to bed. And all of a sudden, within seconds, chaos can completely ensue. And it's just, I'm left wondering, how in the world did that happen? There are so many fluid moments that happen throughout the day, and it's really awesome. When you're spending time with children, whether they're your own or grandchildren or nieces or nephews, there are so many funny moments that you can collect during the day, and I was blessed with one of them the other day. I was preparing a bottle for Jackson in the kitchen. The house was calm, quiet, and all of a sudden I hear Landon coming around the corner, and she's like, "Here, Mom, catch." And I'm like, "Oh, what?" She was literally throwing her diaper to me, naked, for me to pick up and catch. But it not only was it like one time, it was like 3, 4, 5 times before it got to me. And it was a little hectic from that point on. And spoiler alert, that not all things are perfect at the Strickfaden house. And you can better believe that I was searching for God in that moment. It was pretty real. But honestly, this is the season that I'm in. And sometimes it can be a cakewalk, just easy, smooth sailing. And then other moments, truly, you can feel like you're barely hanging on to a string, just moment to moment. But when I was thinking about this tonight, what is that for you? You know, have you ever felt that no matter how hard you are working on something, but in a matter of seconds, it can totally fall apart. You know, you may have gone through a season in the past that was like that. You may be in one now. If you haven't experienced it, you will, because that's what God does. He strengthens you through those seasons, and our challenges may be different. I mean, I look around the room and just such a variety of walks of life, and I love it. I love the diversity in our church, and we all come from different places, and we're all going through different things, and our challenges, they look different, but they really feel the same. Even in those moments, you can usher in the Holy Spirit by calling out to the Lord, just like the usher or the worship team, ushers in the Holy Spirit through our worship time. It's so sweet. You can do that in your home as well, too. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things." Another little point that I've been holding myself to is a standard that if I wasn't getting up early in the morning and having my quiet time in like this quiet, peaceful, clean house, that I was completely missing my time with the Lord. And I was really having a hard time with that, because once you get up, it's like you're already behind. And a friend of mine said to me that it's not about being accomplished, it's about surviving. And the great benefit to having a relationship with the Lord is that you can call on Him no matter what time of day it is, no matter the place, no matter the circumstance. And I had to let that part of myself go, and it's felt amazing. And I hope that that can happen for you guys this week as well, too, through the fast. And just remember, through those hectic moments, you have a choice. You know, about a week ago, I was talking with my sister, and I almost declined getting up here. And I can't walk away when the Lord convicts something on my heart. And that I'm here for that, because I don't want the enemy doing an end zone dance like he got the best of me, because I want to be up here for God, truly. Hope there are some football players but in here. But I don't give up. You know, in those moments, when you're praying, you could be on the eve of your miracle, of that answered prayer. Don't give up, because even the tiniest whisper, He will meet you where you are, no matter what time of day it is. And I just hope that and pray over that for you this week, and enjoy the fast, and hi to all the Tyke mamas that know what I'm talking about with the routine on the live stream. And thank you.
So good. That was so good. Jesus helps us in our chaos. So good. Our next speaker needs no introduction. When he gets hungry, he cracks walnuts in his biceps and just eats them. No joke. He's stronger than a Russian grizzly bear, but kinder than Mother Teresa. The one, the only, Steve Foss.
Quickly turn to Acts 19. We're going back to the same chapter that Joe was at last night, Acts 19. And I'll tell you this, I had a killer ending to this teaching, and God rewrote it sitting right over there. So the last 1 minute of this, if you are female, this is for you. I have a message from the Most High God for you. Acts 19, are you ready? Acts 19, starting at verse 11, says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases parted from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Who knows what Paul did for a living? Yeah, he made tents. He was a tent maker. That was it. And when he was at Corinth, he lived with this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, because they were tent makers. It was the greatest marketplace ministry there was. They made tents, they worshiped Jesus, and then he goes over to Ephesus, goes into the temple, tries to teach there. They're all grumpy and uppity. So he's like, fine, I'll live here for 2 years. I'll make tents. He taught in some kind of like Jewish divinity school or something like that, and he made tents. So this scripture that says from his body came handkerchiefs or aprons, what do you think the word that they translate aprons means? It means an apron. He was a tent maker. He needed something to hold his tools, all this other stuff. What do you think the word that is translated handkerchiefs means? It's a sweat rag. It's a shop cloth. It literally means what he used to wipe his sweat, maybe to pick up some dye spill or something like that. That's what he had, and that's what he used. So this is what it looks like. Honey, I'm sick. I feel like I'm going to die. No problem. There's a guy across town named Paul. He's a man of God. I'm going to go see him, bring him home. He's going to pray for you. You're going to get well. I believe. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, Paul, come on in. My wife's sick. I need you to come pray for her. Oh, really? That's cool. Why don't you just do this? Take this. Well, hold on. I need you to take this and go lay it on her. Ew. Minute one, where you have to make a choice to believe. That was the first minute. You want me to take this and lay it on her? Yeah, I do. Okay. Go across town. Honey, I saw him. It was awesome. Is he here? No, he didn't come. Why didn't he come? Well, he brought this. Is that a sweat rag? It is. Eh. Minute two, you got to believe. Oh, and by the way, he brought this Lowe's apron because our lunatic cousin, he wants me to lay this apron on her and devils are going to fly out of her. And guess what? It wasn't one time. Here's what it said. Many times. This is what he did. I don't need to go there. I'm going to send a sweat rag. Hold on, because it's really hot out. You go lay the sweat rag on him. Boom. They're going to get healed. It was a point of contact to where they believed a sweat rag is going to get me healed. Do you believe? Check this out. I need Jesus. Jesus, come here. He's going to be Jesus. Can you stand right here? Matthew chapter 9 says this. There's a woman that was a hemophiliac. She said, if I can get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. She goes through, she touches it, bam, she gets healed. He's like, hey, wait a minute, what just happened here? They're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? They're like, someone just got healed. She freaks out, it was me. It's okay, daughter, your faith made you whole. Everybody knows this story, right? Translated a bunch of different ways. King James says, if I can touch the hem of his garment. Another one says, if I can touch the fringe of his garment. Another one says, if I can touch the tassel of his garment. She touched it and she got healed so much to where four chapters later in Matthew, it says Jesus goes into towns and all they want to do is touch his clothes. So obviously word spread that this works, right? This is what it looked like. It's one of two areas. This is about the size of Jesus. He would have had, he's a pretty good looking Jesus. He would have had something they call a tzitzayot. It's a prayer shawl that they wore over. It had four tassels. They were supposed to put it, according to the Talmud, put it on all four corners, and he wore it. He was going to Jairus' house to heal the daughter, right, when she interrupted the trip. So he may have had it. It may have been over his head. I don't know. But the prayer shawl would have come down to right about here is where the tassels are. Ready? Do you know what she would have had to do to touch those tassels? But I think it was a different thing. There's something called a tallit. It's a robe that goes all the way to the floor. There are 613 little things for each one of the law in the Old Testament. And it had a blue ribbon. That's where Jesus said, you know, the Pharisees, they like to make their phylacteries broad. Hey, look at my racing stripe. It's blue. I'm something. This is when David is hiding in the cave and Saul comes in and he cuts off a piece of his robe. It's for royalty and authority. And he holds it up and he says, I have this. And that's when Saul knew he was no longer king. See, all of these things, the prayer mantle that's on here, that's what Elijah threw down to Elisha. Toss me your mantle. God, tassel, sweet. Where's the God of Elijah? You guys, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Get out the Old Testament. It's awesome. That's it. Ruth sat at the feet of Boaz and said, cover me with your skirt, with this symbol of royalty, of divinity. She touched it and got healed. You know what it would have looked like? That's what it would have looked like.
Thanks, Jesus.
My time is up. You're going to have a cracker and some grape juice tomorrow night. Some of you will think, this is awesome. Others are going to think, is this it? Is this my point of contact? Is this when I meet God? Yes. I have 9 seconds to tell you what the Lord says. Ladies, the reason you don't want to meet with me is you're afraid because you think you're ugly. You think you're not good enough. You think you're broken. I think you're beautiful. I think you're enough. And when you're down in the dust, I'm going to lift you up because you're my bride and I'm coming for you. And you are just fine. I think you're beautiful. So I love you. I will lift you up and I will hold you. And I will meet with you this week, says the Lord of hosts. Bless you guys.
That was strong. That was strong. And thank you for comparing me to Jesus. So I hope we got that recorded. I hope. It's a little bit of a stretch. The thing I like the most about our next speaker is how gentle she is. She leads our Tyke Mamas, and she's always there with a gentle touch, an encouragement, a kind word to somebody. But you know what? She can preach the paint off the walls. In fact, after she's done, we're gonna take up a special offering to pay for the repainting we're gonna have to do in here. The one, the only, Brandy McDonald.
Thank you. Okay, so I love how God is weaving this together. We knew this would happen. So tonight I want to encourage all of you that if you are searching for more of God, you can find him through praise, thanksgiving, and worship. I know life is not easy. I know it's not. I have 2 small children. Days are not easy. We know. Maybe things haven't gone your way. Things don't go my way a lot. Maybe you are weighed down with disappointment, defeat, or failure. Maybe you find yourself frustrated all of the time. Do you realize that these emotions or unfortunate circumstances, they weigh you down and they take your mind off of Christ? Just like Jane was saying, they distract. When something is lost, it's distracting. When your focus is lost, it's distracting. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 61:3 that God wants to bestow on us a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I want to talk about the garment of praise. It's something the Lord is really putting on my heart and showing me. It's new for me. It is something you have to intentionally put on, just like you have to get out of bed and intentionally take off your jammies and put on your clothes. You have to intentionally put on a garment of praise. Maybe, you know, when your alarm clock rings, the first thing that goes through your mind is, oh God, not another day. Like, I can't do this today. I mean, I said that to myself for 9 months, and how do you think that 9 months went for me? It was horrible. But that was my confession. Every day I just thought, I can't do this. I can't raise 2 little children. It's too much. That's what happens. See, your mind, it takes off without you. So what do you have to do? You have to stop that thought process and you have to put on a garment of praise. In the morning, instead of going with a thought of dread, we've all felt it. So in the morning, tomorrow, go with Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. But when you say this, you aren't denying that maybe you might have a tough day in front of you. Some of you really do have some tough circumstances. I don't minimize or doubt that. But the Bible is clear that we have to shift our mind to Him. When we begin to praise God, your mind shifts from what is in front of you to who God is, and He is for you and He is with you. So listen, This is why praise and thanksgiving to God, it has to be daily. It's not just on Sunday mornings. It's not just when the worship team is here. And I wish that I could have Esther O and the worship team like in my bathroom, you know? Like I wish they could be there. And I wish I could sing like Esther and worship like that. But listen, it is just as powerful to praise God daily in your way. It has the same effect. We encounter God corporately when we worship. You encounter him personally when you worship, when you praise him, when you thank him. So I really feel God is just shifting, like it's a lifestyle. It's not a one-time deal. It's every day. It's daily. And here's why. This, I feel like the Lord really showed this to me, because it doesn't come natural. It doesn't come natural to us, to our flesh, to rejoice in all circumstances. You hear that? Rejoice in all circumstances. That's a supernatural thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The only way you can get to a place of praising God in all circumstances, and I'm learning, is by praising him daily. You have to practice shifting your mind from what is in front of you to the God that is heaven, who is fighting for you. That's what the Bible says. And the Message translation, Colossians 3:1-2. Listen, this is, I love it. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. This is the Bible, not me. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with what's in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what is going around in Christ. That's where the action is. Look from his perspective. Praise and worship changes your perspective. It changes the physical atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere of your heart. Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. God tells us to enter with praise and not our prayer request. Why? Why? Because he knows our request. He knows before we ask. And when we're going into the throne room of heaven, we have to intentionally shift our focus from our need, from our problem, to the one who can take care of it. We come into the courts with praise, because sometimes we have to remind ourselves who we're talking to, right? We have to remind ourselves he is the God who is able, who does the impossible, and is worthy of all praise. Psalm 35:28, my tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praises all day long. So how do you do this daily, right? If I can't have the worship team in my bathroom, how am I going to worship God daily? Well, sometimes it's a sacrifice, right? Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Maybe most of the time you don't feel like it. That's okay. You have to practice. Hebrews 13:15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. The confession of your mouth, shifting your thoughts. Worship the Lord at home. Maybe play worship music. Maybe you play an instrument. Maybe you play something. Get that out and make some music. It doesn't have to, it can be spontaneous, you know? Maybe you like to dance. Worship God through movement. Like, just get loose with it, you know? Keep a gratitude journal. You know, it is scientifically proven. When you count your blessings, when you're thankful, when you're praising God, toxic thoughts, depression, sadness, they dissolve. Because when you're lifting up the name of the Lord, that heaviness lifts off of you. Yes, and here, okay, a mom, and maybe all of you can relate, but you can worship God by being still and in the silence. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. That's like my favorite. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's more, but I have another page. It's okay. There are many ways to praise God throughout your day. The point is to do it. So let's be a people that praise God continually. It's simple. It's powerful. It is not easy, but it is always worth it. Amen.
You ever just felt like you were getting kicked in the gut with truth over and over again? So strong, so strong. Last but not least, our final speaker, you've heard him sing. He's got the voice of an angel. It sounds like heaven's coming down when this man sings. But you know what? The same power that lets him sing like an angel lets him preach like a beast. Youth pastor extraordinaire, Chris Edwards.
I love y'all. Y'all are so encouraging. My faith just shot up just now, just like that. How y'all doing? Y'all doing all right? I'm doing pretty good myself. Shout out to my mama in the back. The name of this message is The Name You Can Trust. The Name You Can Trust. If I could give a subtitle, I would say, don't allow fear to keep you from finding more of God. Don't allow fear to stop you from finding more of God. How many of you guys have a bank? You got a bank? Anybody got a bank? I only saw like six hands, but that's cool. When you're looking for a bank, you know, the first thing you see is the name, and hey, you don't have to pay for the ATM, and we got these cool cards, you know, and hey, we'll help you out with your financial, you know, freedom and all of that type of stuff on the side. But the main thing we're all looking for is four letters. You know, the gimmicks, we like that, but, you know, even the approximation where the place is, but there's something else that matters even more. Four letters, that's FDIC. FDIC. That's Federal Department of Give Me My Money Back. That's your safeguard, right? That's your safeguard. At the end of the day, if something goes left, you will give me my money back. Because you care, right? You care what happens to your money, right? You care because you want to make sure your deposit is safe, right? You want to make sure what you're putting in is going to be okay, right? Whatever I'm giving you, you take care of that, all right? And if something does go wrong, just give me something back. Give it back to me, okay? You got it? Okay. You know, church is the same way. We got the gimmicks, you know. You got me up here singing, you know, stuff like that. You know. You got the people at the door, they serving, they giving their all, you know. Shout out to y'all in the back. Let's go. You got all of these great things, but the main reason why people don't put their deposit in is because they don't trust the FDIC. They don't have that trust in the Lord. They don't have that trust in the Lord that he's going to come through. It's just not there. I can't get all in because I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to end up like my parents. Oh, they were hypocrites, you know. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my swag, you know. I don't want to be a church person, you know. I don't want that. I'm afraid that the leadership just ain't right. Leadership just ain't right. They move that fog machine, that doggone fog machine. I'm afraid. Shots fired. I'm joking. I'm messing with y'all. We family. At the end of the day, though, we're afraid of losing something, whether it be comfort, whether it be our money, whether it be this or that, we're afraid of losing something. But I want to read something to you. This is what Jesus said. This is in Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. What Jesus is saying is, I got this. He never orders something that he doesn't pay for. And the good thing about Jesus, he gives good tips, real good tips. He'll take care of you. If you're serving, If you're serving, sometimes you can mess up. You can trip and drop something. He'll still take care of you on that tip. He will pay for it. He will pay for everything that he orders, and even more than that. He will take care of that. You know, but we're afraid. We're afraid. But he's saying that this is my body. This, Trinity Church, this is my body. This is my body, right? This is mine, and I'm managing this. You know, back in the day when I used to have to do chores, we call them chores now, I just call it life. back in the day when I had chores, you know, me, I had to sweep the floor, and I had to wipe the table down. My older brother, Champ had to wash the dishes. And, you know, we had to do those different things. But it's funny, when you're a male in the house and you're the oldest, when daddy's not home, who's the protector? You are. You are that protector. So when I was at home and I got my younger siblings with me, I'm scared. I'm going to be honest. I'm there and I'm like, I hope nothing go down, you know, while I'm here. I hope nothing happens while I'm here. And then when Champ got home, I'm like, bet, I'm off duty. I'm off duty. Cool. And Champ had to take it. Now, Champ had to wash dishes, but his mind was on making sure everything was good. But when daddy got home, we were all good. Because daddy's job was to manage us, make sure we did what we were supposed to do, and you better do what you're supposed to do, right? Manage that, but to protect. And when we didn't have him there, we couldn't really focus on what we had to do, right? Because the protector wasn't there. But see, the thing is, the protector's here, y'all. The protector's here. He's here, and he is managing this thing. I was asked to give a message on how you experience God. You're searching for God in the local church. Some of y'all are searching, and you're not really searching here. You're looking out there. You're on websites. You're watching YouTube, conspiracy videos. You all out there. You're trying to get everything you can. But right here, if you just jump in, he will take care of you, because when we let him do his thing and we just handle ours, it's so much more peaceful. Because the thing is, he wants us all to know that if you stop being afraid and you trust me, you let go of what you're holding on to that you can't even control. I control this. I can handle this. When you let that go, then what you're actually responsible for, oh, you're going to thrive in it. You're going to feel so fulfilled. You're going to be so good, and it'll take the stress off of your life. It'll take the stress off of your life, because it's not for you to handle. Amen? So are y'all all in? Yeah. Are you all in? Yeah. Are you all in? Yeah. Are you all in? We all in. We all in. Amen. Let's be in. Amen.
Give the Lord a hand. If you got something out of that, stand to your feet right now. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on, give it up. God, we thank you for these five speakers. I thank you for the words that you spoke to them. I thank you for the time they spent in preparation, Lord, getting ready for tonight to bring your truth to us. God, I pray that everyone in this room was touched by what they heard tonight, Lord, and that you would bless it. Let us not be people who just hear your word, but people who do the word as well. God, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor Joe, that's a hard act to follow, isn't it? You ready to land this plane? All right.
Come on, give them another hand. Didn't they do awesome? I think we started a new tradition tonight, don't you? Yeah, we got some people who can preach. That's pretty good. And your mama was here, too. You did good right in front of your mama. Notice how you bragged on yourself about how good you did the table and all that. We're going to get her up here next time and find out what really happened. Hey, I'm sorry he told you to sit down. Let's stand up. We're going to say goodnight. Lord, we thank you for this moment that we've had here together tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the great words that we heard here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the lives. I tell you, for the five people that got up here, there's another 255 can preach 7 minutes and be awesome too. God, thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I just want to echo what Chris brought us. It's time to get all in. It's time to be all in. It's time to be all in. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that as we get all in, we got a protector, a provider, and a promoter that's anxious and willing and desirous to protect us, to provide for us, and to promote us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Please come and join us tomorrow for prayer at noon. Tomorrow night, Eldred Sawyer's coming. You don't want to miss it. We're going to have paint so we can repaint the walls tomorrow night, too. God bless you. Have a great, great evening.
And I see in prayer.